Are you glad to be here tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Now, for those of you who don't know who really I am, my name is Dennis Guizdella, and I'm from Bay City. I travel all over the country, but I'm from Bay City, not too far from here. And I got to warn you here. I get excited for the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so just so if you don't like to get excited for the Lord, you came to the wrong place tonight. Okay, but too late, you're already here. They locked the doors, so you're nothing, you can't get out. But anyway, so I'm excited about tonight's message, and I think you're going to see a little bit different spin on this message here. Turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. A very familiar passage, a very familiar story, a true story. Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. And if you're there, if you brought your Bibles, I just want to ask, if you brought your Bibles, wave them up in the air and let me see them. Do you know what this means? Look at that, all over the church. Praise the Lord. That tells me I'm in a Bible-believing church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, y'all are at Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Amen. Stand together in honor of God's word and read out loud with me verses 25 to 34. Let's read this true story that really, really happened. Ready? Starting in verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done to us. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to assemble here together tonight. And we pray now, Lord, that we would hear from heaven tonight, Lord, as we continue this revival series. Revive us again, Lord. And may we hear from heaven tonight, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise and glory, for it's in your precious name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Follow me. Follow me, and I will make you thankful that Jesus is still the great physician. Come and follow me, and I will make you thankful that Jesus still works miracles. Come and follow me, and I will make you thankful that Jesus still changes lives today. I received an email about a year ago. The name of the title of my message, by the way, is entitled So Close and Yet So Far. I received an email about a year ago, and the email said this: Tom, attached is the documentation with your finances. So review this documentation so that we can go over your last will and testament next week. Sincerely, Larry. Now, there's two problems. Number one, Joy and I, my wife Joy and I, we've already prepared our living trust, so we don't need a last will and testament. Secondly, my name's not Tom. It came to the wrong email address. He meant to put it, my email address is dgwiz, dgwiz, you know, Dennis Guizdella, dgwiz at AOL.com. He meant to send it to drwz at AOL.com or something like that. He was close. So close, but yet so far. Larry didn't, or Tom didn't get Larry's documentation, his email. So I replied back and said, hey, you got the wrong guy here. There was a Minneapolis couple who decided to go to Florida to thaw out during a particular icy winter. And they planned to stay at the same hotel where they spent their honeymoon 20 years earlier, the same hotel. Because of their hectic schedules, it was difficult to coordinate their travel schedules, and so the husband left Minneapolis and flew down to Miami on Thursday with his wife flying down the following day. And the husband checked into the hotel. There was a computer in his room, and he went to the computer and he decided to send an email to his wife. And however, he accidentally, like Larry did, he accidentally left off one letter, and he didn't realize that it was an error until he sent it. Meanwhile, a widow in Houston, Texas, just got done burying her husband. And she came back to the house. Now, he was a man of the cloth. He was a Baptist preacher, and they had a celebration service and his homegoing service. He went home to glory. She went back to the house and went to her computer, and figuring that she's going to receive condolences through email from friends and family who could not attend the funeral. She got to her computer. She opened up the first email. She screamed and fell on the floor and fainted. Her son ran into her bedroom, saw the computer, saw his mom on the floor, went over to the computer terminal, and found the following email. It says, "To my loving wife. Subject, I've arrived. Date, March 15th, 2012. I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and you are allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and have been checked in. I've seen that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. It sure is freaking hot down here. So close, but yet so far. This woman that we read about in the true story, she had hopeless news. She had hopeless news. But then she heard of this man Jesus of Nazareth, and she heard that he's a guy that changes lives. How many things in our lives, they may not be plagues like she had, but they are things that defeat us. Bad habits, sinful habits, things that bring guilt to our lives. They may not be sinful by themselves, but they bring guilt upon us nonetheless. They may not be biblically wrong, but they may not necessarily be good for us. We live defeated lives because of that. That's where this lady was in her life. This lady was defeated because of her infirmity that she's had all those years. But instead of wallowing in guilt, defeat, and pity, she decided, I am going to believe that he, Jesus, can change my life today. If he can cleanse demons out of a man, he can cure my problem today. She had, number one, three quick points, and then we're done here tonight. Number one, she had perceived her sickness or problem removable. She perceived, she believed that her problem could be removed. She knew that if she could obtain the right medicine, she could be healed. Her enzymes increased. She had an adrenaline rush. Her heart started beating faster, and she was believing in Jesus. She saw the throng of the crowd, and there's Jesus over there. His head, she could see his head above all the other shoulders of the crowd. There he is. I hear this guy right there, Jesus of Nazareth. He works miracles, and he changes lives. If I can just get to him, I believe he can help me today, and he could cleanse me of my infirmities. She believed that, and she perceived her sickness or her problem that she had removable. She really believed that. What about you? Is the valley you're going through right now, and I have no idea what valley you may be going through, But do you, right now, is the valley you're going through seem like it could be corrected or healed? Do you believe your problem or the valley you're going through could be solved by Jesus? Now, don't answer that out loud. Just think about it. Whatever you're going through, whatever valley you may be going through right now, do you believe that Jesus could correct it? That Jesus could heal you? Number two, not only had this woman perceived her sickness removable, but she had pursued the source of her remedy. She had to touch Jesus. She had to touch Jesus. She knew if she could just get there and touch him, she could be cleansed. She was focused in her pursuit. She was determined in her task. Nothing was going to stop her. She did everything to get in her power to get to Jesus. Excuse me, hot coffee coming through. Excuse me, I'm going to get to Jesus. I'll give you an example closer to home. We have a son, Eric. We have three kids, Jeremy, Eric, Alicia. Eric is the middle child, and he will remind you that he is the middle child. Anyway, Eric is in Los Angeles, in Hollywood. He's a stand-up comic out in L.A. And so back in 2000, Eric was 18 years old. This is a true story. Eric was 18 years old, still living at home. And I came home one day, and I see him in his bedroom on the ground like this on his knees, and he bought a white, pure white T-shirt from Kmart, brand new. And he's drawing on it. I walk in there, and I says, Eric, what are you doing? He says, well, you know, the presidential election's coming up. This was around this time of year. And I said, yeah. He says, and, you know, Governor George W. Bush is running for president. I said, yeah, I know. Yeah, he's the candidate, the Republican candidate. He says, well, I'm meeting him tomorrow. I said, you're meeting Governor George W. Bush tomorrow? He says, yeah. I says, does he know that? He goes, nope. Nope. He says, but I'm meeting him tomorrow. I says, he doesn't know you're meeting him. No. Mm-mm. You're sure you're going to meet him? He's a positive. I said, how are you going to meet him? He says, well, he's appearing at Saginaw Valley State University. He's doing a campaign speech there. And all the big Republican Party state representatives and all that are going to be there. And I'm going to meet him over there. I says, how are you going to get up there? How are you going to meet him? I said, I hate to burst your bubble, but how are you going to meet him? He's got Secret Service all over him. He says, check this out. And he lifts up the T-shirt, and it says, in a Sharpie marker, it says, Governor Bush, can I date one of your daughters? He's got twin daughters, you know, and they're the same age as Eric, okay? And then in place of date, he crosses out date, and it says, marry. Can I marry one of your daughters? So that, the next day, Eric, Jeremy, and their friends go to Saginaw Valley State University, and the only seats they can get is up in the balcony, up in the nosebleed section. And Eric looks down, and he sees a stage down there, and he says to Jeremy, his brother Jeremy, and the rest of the guys, he says, well, you guys can stay here. I'm going to go. I'm meeting Governor Bush here, so excuse me. And so he walks out, and he goes down, walks down the steps. Excuse me, hot coffee coming through. Everyone's, excuse me. And he gets to the very front of the stage. And then comes the Republican entourage into the, you have Bo Derek. If you remember Bo Derek from the movie Star, you know, 10, the movie 10 and all that. She's a staunch Republican, by the way. Bo Derek walks in, then Michelle Engler, Governor John Engler's wife, then Governor John Engler comes in, and then Laura Bush comes in, and then George W. Bush walks in after that. Secret Service all around. And there's Eric has a T-shirt on, and when they're all up there, Eric does this. And Bo Derek looks at Eric and goes, I marry one of your daughters. Hey, Michelle Engler, check that out. Michelle Engler looks and goes, hey, John, check out this kid. Governor Engler looks and goes, I can't believe he wrote that. Hey, Laura Bush. Hey, Laura, look what he wrote about your daughters. She goes, hey, George, look at that. And George W. Bush goes, says, hold on, I'll be right there. True story. He walks up, he gives a stump speech, you know, vote for me and all that coming up in 2 weeks, blah, blah, blah. He goes down to Eric. He says, I like the shirt. He says, and then he pulls out his marker. And he signs Eric's T-shirt. And Eric looks at him and says, well, can I? Can I marry one of your daughters? And George says, you got to ask him. He says, you got to ask him. And so then, now you can discount this. You can say, Eric, what a jerk writing a T-shirt. He's got an autographed T-shirt from a president of the United States. How many of us can say that, right? Amen. And so Eric did not take no for an answer. And so later, if you remember, one of the Bush girls got caught for like DUI or something, you know, driving, you know, a minor in possession, you know. I remember watching it on the news, and I said, Eric, I forbid you to marry that girl. She's from a bad family. Bad, bad, bad. I'm not going to bless this marriage. No. True story. But Eric did not give up. This woman did not give up. She had perceived her sickness removable. Number two, she had pursued the source of her remedy. Nothing was going to stop her. How often do we quit or stop short of our solution or healing? Do you realize how often we might quit on God? We're one prayer short of seeing an answer, seeing victory in our lives. But we give up. We give up. That's too high of a mountain to climb. God would never answer that prayer. Have you ever had doubt in your life? Have you ever given up on God because he wouldn't answer that? If Eric would have given up 10 rows before he got to the front, he would not have an autographed T-shirt by a president of the United States right now. And this woman did not give up. Number one, she had perceived her sickness removable. Number two, she had proved the solution reliable. How many of us have things that we take it home and it fails on us, right? It happened. Remember the Vegematic? It slices, it dices, it makes mounds of French fries. How many remember that commercial? I can see all the people my age and older here, right? Right. There's a vacuum salesman called our house. He says, I want to sell you a vacuum. I said, we've got a vacuum. He says, mine is better. I says, okay. He says, I'll tell you what I want you to do. Before I use my vacuum that's better than yours, I want you to vacuum up your carpet. I said, okay. So I vacuum up the carpet, right? And he, ding dong, he comes over. I open him up, welcome him in, and he said, did you vacuum your carpet? He says, yeah. Oh, he says, so he puts on a white cotton cloth on my vacuum, and he says, look at all that you missed. Right? I go, huh. So then he uses his vacuum and says, see, mine's doing a much better job. I said, let's put that white cloth on yours. He said, well, we don't really have to do that. I said, I want to. So we put the white cloth on his, and he does it again, and there's like loads of dirt, right? Right? And I says, see, now let me show you what mine can do here. And so it failed. His vacuum failed. And how many, so we have this mindset that I'm going to fail anyway. Why even go to God? Why even go to him? He's not going to answer my prayer. And we give up. How many of you are parents? How many of you had children? Raise your hands. Okay? Now you can put your hands down. Now, let me ask you this. Out of all the parents that are here, how many of you want to see your children fail in life? Let's see those hands. Not one. Not one parent wants to see his children fail. Do you think God wants to see his? No. But yet we live so much in doubt and fear We don't have the perseverance like this woman did. And so she pursued the source of her remedy. And number three, finally, she proved the solution reliable. She proved it in the press of the crowd. How many of these people brushed up to Jesus? You realize he was in a crowd. He was in a throng. There were people bumping all over him. How many of them might have had an illness but didn't believe in Jesus? They were touching him all over the place. They were touching him, and nothing happened because they didn't have the faith. They didn't have the belief that Jesus said who he was, who he said he was. And so it took this woman from the outside to get inside the crowd to touch his garment, and she was miraculously healed. The one who pursued him got what they were after. All those other people so close to Jesus and yet so far away. But this woman in her pursuit was made whole. She pursued the source and proved the solution. It was virtually impossible to get close to Jesus, but one woman fought her way desperately through the crowd in order to touch him. As soon as she did, she was healed. What a difference between the crowds who are curious about Jesus and the few who reach out and touch him. I think we fall so short as Christians. The ones who have doubts about what Jesus can do in their lives. How many of us, we hear somebody's sick, or we hear there's a job situation, and we go, we'll pray for you. We'll pray. And then you earnestly pray. You do pray for them. And then when they come to you and say, hey, Brother Daryl, I got a job. You go, you're kidding me. Really? Hey, I went to the doctor and they couldn't find anything. You're kidding me. But isn't that how we are? We act surprised when we pray and then God answers prayer. We act surprised. That's not faith. Romans 14:23 says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Are you so close to Jesus but yet so far away because of doubts you may have? Doubts about your health, somebody else's health. Doubts about a job situation or your marriage. Maybe you have wayward children or grandchildren, or maybe you just have doubts about serving Christ in general. And maybe you've given up on God. You've given up on God instead of, like that woman, did everything in your power to get to him and touch him. Dennis, what does this have to do with revival? It has everything to do with revival. It has everything to do with your faith, my faith. Do we really believe that Jesus is still the great physician? Do we really believe that Jesus is still a miracle worker? Or was that just something that happened 2,000 years ago? And if you're here tonight and you're realizing, you know, Brother Dennis, my faith has been pretty weak lately. I talk a good game when I'm in church. But I'll be honest, my faith has been lacking. Then my friend, if that's you, and I'm preaching to myself tonight because my faith wavers at times. There's times that I act surprised when a prayer gets answered. But if that's you tonight, you can come to the altar, and you can, and as the invitation starts to play, as we start the music here, you can come to the altar and ask God to forgive you for your lack of faith. It happened to the disciples, and they hung with Jesus. It happened to them. It happens to us. And revival can start tonight by acknowledging that, you know what, Lord? I do believe that you are still the one that your word says you are. I do believe that. And I do believe, Lord, that you still are a miracle worker. And maybe I don't have a physical need, but I have a spiritual need. I have an emotional need. Maybe I have a family problem, a job situation, a marriage that's unraveling. I do believe, Lord, that you are who you say you are. And revival can start tonight when you acknowledge that God is still on the throne. If you're here tonight, let me share with you, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ, the miracle worker, as your Savior, it's not a coincidence you're here tonight. God knew you were going to be here. And he wants you to settle it once and for all. You see, Jesus Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago. He did all these miracles. And for 3.5 years, he walked this earth with a ministry. And at the age of 33, he died on that cross for you and I. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That means we've all sinned here. We'll all acknowledge we're all sinners here, aren't we? We're all sinners. And there's a price we're going to have to pay for our sin debt. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. And not just physical death. I'm looking around the sanctuary tonight. And with all due respect, no matter how old you are or how young you are, if Jesus were to tarry another 100 years, if he doesn't come back for another 100 years, I hate to break it to you, church, none of us are getting out of here alive. Every one of us, 100 years from now, are going to be physically dead. But not just physical death, but spiritual separation from God and heaven forever. Because you see, God is a holy God. God is a sinless God. Heaven is a perfect place. God cannot allow one sin into heaven. So therein lies a problem. We're all sinners. We all want to go to heaven one day, but we can't make it on our own. But I do bring you good news tonight. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, the good news is this. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you hear that? It's a gift. It's free. There is something we have to do. There is a catch. We have to receive Christ as our Savior, individually, personally. For as many as received him, Jesus, the Bible says, to them gave he the power to become the sons or the children of God. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, may today be your day of salvation. You can leave here being a child of God. Let's all bow our heads before we open the altars up tonight. My friend, if that's you tonight, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, but you would like to, would you just simply in your heart pray, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. But I believe, Lord Jesus, that you died for me. And that if I was the only sinner on the face of this earth, you still would have stepped out of eternity and taken my place on that cross. And so, Lord, the only way I know how, the simplest way I know how, I'm calling on you right now to come into my heart and save me from my sins. Your word says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm that whosoever tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me and saving my soul right here and right now. It's in your name I pray. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. My friend, if that's you, if you trusted Christ tonight, the angels are rejoicing in heaven right now because your name is written in what is called the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be erased. The angels are rejoicing. I would love to rejoice as well. I will not embarrass you. I will not point you out or call you out or single you out. I would just love to be encouraged knowing you are now my brother or sister in the Lord. If you trusted Christ as your Savior tonight, would you just simply, just quickly lift your hand up and put it down? Anyone at all, just put it up and, yes, I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Praise the Lord. Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Lord Jesus, I thank you for these four souls who raised their hands, Lord. To you be the glory, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for these souls that confessed you as their Savior. Lord, we now are going to open up the invitation. Lord, we're going to ask those who need to talk with you about maybe a lack of faith in a certain area, Lord, to hear their prayers, because we know you are a prayer-answering God. Lord, we turn this invitation over to you and the people here tonight. All of you who are here, join me at the altar. If you would like to just have some time with the Lord and maybe talk over a situation that maybe you were wavering in with your faith, the invitation is now open. Join me at the altar if you'd like. That's where I'll be. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I confess my sin of lack of faith. Lord, we serve you, Almighty God, a prayer-answering God. And with you, your word says, for all things are possible with you. Lord, forgive me of my lack of faith. And thank you, Lord. We thank you for still being the great physician. We thank you, Lord, for still being who you are, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the and the end. Almighty God, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord.